Our gospel reading today is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 to 25. These words that we share today describe the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry right after his baptism and calling of his disciples. Matthew writes and says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region around the Jordan followed him. This is the word of the Lord. May we pray. Gracious and loving God, may you bless the message today. Those who hear it, and if you'd be willing, speak through your messenger. We ask, O God, in these moments that we encounter your most real and living presence in our lives, we might sense the depth and breadth of your love for us, demonstrated so supremely through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. I'd like to ask you a question that Methodists have been asking each other for well over 200 years, a question that seems that needs to be asked from time to time, and that question is this: how goes it with your soul? How goes it with your soul? It's a deep question when you think about it, far beyond the question we ask each other over coffee: how you doing? How are things? How goes it with your soul? And I suppose those early Methodists began asking questions like that because they knew, like we know, that so many of us carry things deep inside of us, struggles, doubts, fears, problems, that we're not always willing to share with one another on a superficial level. We have to ask deeper questions sometimes. And so I ask you today, how goes it with your soul? I had a conversation a month or so ago, a texting conversation with a friend, and that friend was sharing with me some concerns over one of the young persons in their life, one of their children who was in their early 20s. That young person was about ready to go back to college and had had a sort of a breakup in a relationship, and she was concerned about her student. Apparently, the young person was very despondent, not really excited about going back to school. And I said, well, I'd be happy to talk with them if you think that would be happy or be helpful. And they said, well, what would you say to them? And I said, well, I would encourage that young person to work on developing their PMA. They texted back and said, what's a PMA? I said, positive mental attitude. You know, I struggled with using that as a sermon series title. I'm used to talking a lot about Jesus and about prayer, about reading the scriptures and about serving. And I got to tell you, I tried to get out of this many, many times, but it just seemed like the Lord wouldn't let me. What I'm talking about when I talk about a positive mental attitude is really about where we are individually, deep down inside, about our future. How do we feel about what tomorrow looks like for us? The Bible has a word for being positive about our life and our future. It's called hope. It's really what this series is about. It's about hope. It's the belief that tomorrow can be better than today, that things don't have to be the way they are. And I realize that so many people in this world, and perhaps even people within the sound of my voice today, are struggling with the sense of hope about what tomorrow might look like for them. Maybe that describes you. Maybe that describes someone that you know. Maybe it describes the young person that I'm praying for. I know it's described me at different points in my life, and I wish when I was in my early 20s, someone would have reached out to me and talked about working on a PMA, a positive mental attitude, developing a deeper sense of hope in one's future, and trusting in a God who created us and loves us more than we know, who holds us in the palm of his hand. One afternoon a few weeks ago, as I was wrestling with using this as a sermon series topic, I said, God, I don't know if this is really what I should be talking about. And I read a tweet, of all things, if you're on Twitter, you know what I'm talking about. And it was from a sports reporter who covers Ohio State football. It was one of those random moments in a day when I was looking at my phone, and this random tweet popped up that said that September is National Suicide Prevention Month. So I started doing some research on that, and according to the Center for Disease Control in the United States, suicide is the second leading cause of death for those aged 10 through 34. I thought, that can't be. How could that be? That people so young, with so much life ahead of them, that this could be the second leading cause of death for the youngest people in our society. Then I read on and found out that for those aged 35 to 54, that's me, it's the fourth leading cause of death. And I sensed as I was reading those statistics that God was saying, David, this is really what I want you to begin to talk about for a few weeks in your congregation, to offer hope, to encourage people to be proactive, to take some kind of action that might increase their overall well-being. So my friend texted me back and said, well, how can my young person develop a positive mental attitude? And just off the top of my head, I began to text back some things that I would suggest, like addressing one's physical health, taking control as much as we possibly can over our physical well-being. I would have encouraged that young person to focus on improving relational health, of deepening relationships, communicating with those that love them. I would encourage that person to focus on what I deem as directional health. It simply means setting goals, achieving things. Maybe you've experienced this before in your life. We begin to feel better about ourselves when we begin to accomplish some things. I'm a list maker, and I like to make a list of things I need to accomplish, and I feel so much better when I begin to check things off. In fact, I will often add things to my list after I've completed them, just so I feel better about checking them off. I feel like I've accomplished something. And I would like to talk to that young person about focusing on their spiritual health. It's no secret that not only in our church, but across most of Western Christianity, so many churches struggle to reach the younger generation, encourage them to be in church, to live in relationship with God through a faith in Jesus Christ. So that's what Pastor Herman and I are going to be talking about through the month of September. Spiritual health and directional health and relational health and physical health. And that's where we're starting today. Ways to improve your physical health. I think God has a sense of humor because in the week that I was preparing a message on physical health, I got sick. Whatever respiratory things going around, I got it. But I'm on the upswing, feeling a little better than I was this past week. Some of the things I want to share today are not things that perhaps you don't already know, but something maybe you need to be reminded of. It was C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, that great British theologian who said, sometimes we just need to be reminded more than we need to be instructed. So let me remind you of a few things about ways to improve your physical health. Number one, develop a healthy diet. Develop a healthy diet. Some of you may remember about a year or so ago, year and a half ago, I lost 30 pounds. I found it. But I'm working on losing it again. And I know, just as well as you do, that it begins with having some sense of self-control over what I do at breakfast and lunch and dinner and those times in between. Number two, stay active. My doctor would call this exercising. But I know that staying active is different than exercising. So many of us think that exercise involves, you know, going to a gym or things of that nature. But staying active is really just what it sounds like. It means take a walk in the evening if you can. I once had a friend who was a physician, and he used to tell me that 20 minutes of walking every day would lower my blood pressure. Kind of made me mad and raised my blood pressure, but that's another story. That leads me to point number three. See your doctor. Make an appointment. Talk to them about how you're feeling. Share with them what's going on. I remember when my brothers and sister and I were dealing with some of the struggles our parents were having. We were beginning to see some of their health declining in their latter years. And so we took them to the doctor and went into the office with them, with their permission, of course. And I watched my mom, dear saint of a woman, I watched her just bold-faced lie to her physician. See your doctor and openly talk to them about how you're feeling, about what you're wrestling with, about what your goals might be. Most of you don't know this. When I was 16 years old, I was diagnosed with glaucoma. 16 years old. And I had to go to an ophthalmologist, and they put me on eye drops. Some of you know what that's like. Some of you may deal with that. And so for the last 35 years or so, I've been putting drops in my eyes twice a day. And every 6 months, I go back to the doctor and here's what I learned. If I want to continue to see, I need to continue to see my doctor. That's a hard thing for a man sometimes to accept. And so just real briefly here, if I could speak to the men in the room, listen to your spouse. Listen to your kids. Go see your doctor. Number four, ways to improve your physical health. Get your rest. Get your rest. That's hard for so many of us to do because we have so much to do. Sometimes the best thing we can do is just to take an afternoon, take it off, go home, go fishing, do something that rests our soul as well as our body. And I got to be honest with you, I struggled with putting this message together because a lot of this just felt like good advice and not good news. And that's when God said, I want you to also point them to me, David. So let me do that. Let me remind you that there is a God who created you, who knit you together in your mother's womb, as the psalmist wrote. A God who loves you and who cares about every detail of your life. A God who has given you a hope and a future. And one of the ways that we can improve our physical health is through prayer. By asking God to help us with the things that we struggle with physically and emotionally. To ask God to heal us, to give us strength, to give us self-control, to help us to rely on discipline and when we don't feel motivated. And I know that for many of us, praying for ourselves is a struggle. And maybe God wants you to hear today that it's okay to pray for you. Pray for your own healing as well as somebody else's. Did you realize that one-third of Jesus' ministry was focused on healing? One-third of his ministry was focused on healing. That passage we read today from Matthew chapter 4, as Matthew outlines the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, he says that Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and disease among the people. Teaching and proclaiming and healing. One-third of Jesus' ministry focused on healing. It seems that God is interested in more than just your soul. Do you believe that today? That God is interested in more than just your soul. What would it look like for you and for me to take some kind of step forward that will enable us to have some kind of control, as much as is possible, to have some type of control of our own physical health, to feel better about ourselves by the actions we can take that would help us to be healthier people? I know that most of you are aware that football season has started. Can I get an amen? And you may be aware that when a football player runs the ball into the line and gets through for 2 or 3 or 4 yards, oftentimes that football player will get pushed back another 3 or 4 or even 5 yards and sometimes thrown to the ground. But the referee will do something very interesting. They'll take the football and they'll place it at the farthest point that the carrier took the ball. It's called forward progress. Take some steps that will allow you some forward progress in your physical well-being. Even if it's a small step, at least it's a step in the right direction. In other words, don't give up on yourself. I titled this message, "We Feel Better When We Feel Better." Pastor Herman teased me and said it sounded like something Yogi Berra might say. That may be the case. But I found it in my own life, and perhaps you have too, that we begin to feel better about ourselves, about our life, when we feel better. We feel better when we feel better. I'll never forget the conversation I had with a woman by the name of Joy. This was well over 10 years ago, and at that time, Joy was in probably her late 80s. And Joy had had an episode in her life that required her to go to the hospital. And after being dismissed from the hospital, Joy had to spend several weeks in a rehabilitation facility. As you can imagine, Joy was not very happy about that. We found ourselves right in the beginning of December, and I went to visit Joy, and she described to me what was going on inside of her heart as she said, you know, I won't be able to be home for Christmas. And she was very despondent about that. And so as we talked about what it might mean for her to take some proactive steps to get better, I remember that Joy was a huge Ohio State football fan. And it just so happened that Ohio State was playing in a bowl game early in January of that next year against Texas in the Fiesta Bowl. Some of you may remember that. And I said to Joy, I said, you know, you may not make it home for Christmas. But I wonder if you listened to what your doctor had to say and cooperated with the physical therapists and took care of things that you had to take care of while you were here. I wonder if you might be able to get home for that football game. Well, a few days passed, and I went back to see Joy, and she was in a much different disposition as she bragged on herself about doing physical therapy and listening to her doctor. And sure enough, she was feeling better physically. And I watched Joy feel better emotionally and spiritually as well. She made it home. She made it home for that game. And I think she did it because she began to develop a positive mental attitude. She had hope that God could bring her through whatever it was that she was facing in that season in her life. You know what? I think God can do the same for you and me. I think he can bring us through whatever it is we're facing today, one step at a time, one day at a time. And that God has given us the ability and the freedom to take some sense of control over our physical well-being. And in those areas of our life that we have no control, we can place it in the one who holds all things in the palm of his hand. Do you believe that? I do. I do. You know, we need to be encouraging one another. We need to be encouraging one another in every aspect of our life, as much as we're able, as much as we're knowledgeable of. And I would ask you to encourage me that I misplaced those 30 pounds that I found in the past 12 months. And I'll do my best to encourage you to do whatever it is that you need to do so that you can begin to feel better. Whether you're 20 or 88 or somewhere in between, what is it that God would have you do for yourself, for your family, to be good stewards of what God has entrusted to you? Take a step forward. Take a step forward in the days ahead. Pray about it. Ask God to show you what you might be able to do to find the hope that you're called to. May we pray. Oh God, we thank you today that you have not left us alone, but you have surrounded us with your love and with your Spirit. And with your people called the church. Wherever we may find ourselves today, Lord, help us to find ourselves in the palm of your hand. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is